today on Anchored in the Word.
No matter how long you've been a Christian, no matter what is going on in your Christian life right now, if it's a positive or it's a negative, I'm going to tell you something. God is doing something. Even if there's something horrific happening in your life right now, God is doing and wanting to do something miraculous in the midst of that. Because God's working, and He's using you, and He's using situations in your life. And the temptation for us as God is doing this, as God is moving, will be to be afraid.
But I'm anchored deep in your clinging love. I'm anchored deep in who you are. I'm anchored deep in holy word. I'm anchored deep in you, my Lord.
This is Anchored in the Word, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Coastlands in Eatontown, New Jersey, with our pastor and teacher, Bill Beckelman. Paul's ministry in Corinth was characterized by great success and great persecution. Even though many rejected the gospel, Paul continued faithfully, and God opened unexpected opportunities through others. In today's message, Pastor Bill will encourage us to press on, be faithful, and bravely share the good news with the lost. At the close of Pastor Bill's message, I'll be sharing with you how you can get a copy of today's broadcast of Anchored in the Word. Subscribe to the podcast or simply get in touch with us. But for now, here's Pastor Bill in Acts chapter 18 with today's edition of Anchored in the Word.
You see, a couple things about Jesus Christ, the Messiah. He had to be born of a virgin. It was prophesied. And then he had to be born in Bethlehem. Well, he didn't live in Bethlehem. His father and mother didn't live in Bethlehem. And so how's that prophecy going to come? See, this is God's problem, if you want to call it that. God's the one that takes care of those kinds of things. So how is he going to get Mary and Joseph all the way there to over here to Bethlehem so Jesus could be born? Well, they have to register. They have to go back to their town of Bethlehem. That's where his family was from, and he had to go back there and register. And you can think about this. She's got to travel all this way. This is going to be dangerous. This is her first baby. You know, the first child, you always really weird, those of you that had babies. You know, it's like the first time, and even after the baby's born, you're worried about it and everything. How are we going to take care of this human being? But the point is, there could be a lot of things to worry about on that journey, right? But they made the journey, and lo and behold, you see that was God's plan. He wanted to get Jesus so he could be born. When the time came, when they were in Bethlehem getting registered, that Jesus was born. You all know that story. But that was an important part of the story, God moving them from one place to the other. The divine chess, we're all a big chess board, and he's making the moves. He's doing all these things, and we're involved in that. It's not chess pieces. These are people, and it's us, and he's moving us around. And because of these moves, we could be fearful at times, right? We could be fearful, but what we're going to see here is the fix for this whole thing is to get our eyes fixed on the Lord. Remember the time that, and I've told you this before, but I wasn't even a pastor. I was serving in our church in California there. And I don't know, I've been back with the Lord, I don't even know how long, a year or two, something like that. But I couldn't get enough church, and I being there all the time, and I was a single guy at that time. And I think it's before we got married, maybe we had just gotten married. But anyway, the point is, we get a phone call one morning on a Sunday morning, right before church, the phone rings, and somebody says, there's a man dying, you need to send a pastor right now. Well, church service started at 10 o'clock. The pastor, the senior pastor, was going to do the service. The assistant pastor was going to do the Spanish service at the same time. It's like 9 o'clock or 9:30. There's no way they could go. Well, who gets the nod? Me. This is my first time ever. I mean, there's a guy dying, and you're sending me to go up there and minister to this guy? And I'm like, you know, I'm thinking, oh, what do I do? You know, what do I do? My wife says, just find out, make sure that he's saved. I'm like, that's it. That's what I'll do. Make sure that he's saved. Right? Does that seem like a no-brainer? But I didn't know what to do. So, but I realized it was my call. I knew enough to know that. This call came at a time when neither one of the pastors could go. And I was the next in line, apparently. And so I get in my truck. I remember this. And I'm driving, because he lived up this winding road. There was this, you know, hilly section. And I'm driving this truck, man. I got to get there in a hurry. This guy's dying, right? And somewhere along that line, I'm realizing, wait a second. I got to slow down a little bit here. And I thought, got this idea, if God called me to this, I don't need to speed there. This guy's not going to die before I get there. And if he does, I wasn't supposed to be there, right? And that's what, and I got this, whew, this peace came over me. Because I got to tell you, I was driving that thing and I got to get there. There was a fear that was there. I had to get there before this guy died. But then I realized, wait a second. I got to get my eyes on him. If he called me to this, this guy's going to be alive when I get there. And so I get there, and sure enough, he's still alive. He's laying in the bed. The family's all around and around in his bedroom. And I go up to the guy and talk to him a little bit. But then I just prayed with this guy to receive the gospel. He couldn't talk very much. He was, you know, there dying. Anybody, he mouthed out the words to receive. I said, if you want to receive Jesus, just say amen. I prayed the sinner's prayer, and he said amen. And I left there, and I got word before I even got back to the church, he died. 20 minutes after I left there. It was a half hour trip, I think, to get there, maybe a little longer. But it was the God's timing. And God's running this universe, you know, doing these things, calling us to this, that, and the other. And in the midst of these things, we can have a tendency to have a temptation to be afraid in the midst of these things. And we don't have to. What we need to do is get our eyes fixed upon him. When we get our eyes, this is what happens. When we get our fix on the circumstance, we're looking at the circumstance and we're mulling it over in our mind maybe, and then the circumstance becomes really huge, really big, and it becomes bigger than God in our minds. And that's when fear takes over in our minds, in our hearts. It takes over because the circumstance is just too big for God. Now, we wouldn't sit there and think that. But that's what we're doing. And that apparently it happened to the Apostle Paul in some way. But look at this. So God sends Aquila and Priscilla there. This is a divine appointment that Paul has. He sends him some people. The body of Christ is there now. He's got some people to come alongside him. He's not alone. He's got some other people there. And look what it says in verse 3. So because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked. For by occupation, they were tent makers. Now, Paul, the Apostle Paul, you know, he had a part-time job at times, and he was a tent maker. Maybe today that would be like a carpenter, a house builder, or something like that. But sometimes Paul worked that way. Other times he received from the gospel, it was said about him. But it's interesting. You see, this is a term that you might hear in Christendom where somebody that's in the ministry would say, well, my tent making. Some people go, what does that mean? Well, it comes from this scripture right here, that if you have a part-time job in some way, that's called tent making, and that's, you know, that's what this means, that you would supplement your income or at times or whatever with this idea of making tents. Obviously, you're not making tents, but it speaks back to this verse right here. So not only does he find these people that are like-minded, they do the same thing. So he's got work now. He's got people that are, they could work together and this is a divine appointment. And of course, in verse 4, Paul goes on and does what he does, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks, verse 4. Now, when Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, now remember, Paul had left them back in Macedonia, and he went to Athens, and then he comes to Corinth now, and he was waiting for them to come. And so now they've come. And it says that, I want you to see this, Paul was compelled by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. That's what got him in trouble when he preached to the Jews. This fact that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the Messiah. He's the one that you've been waiting for. He is the one that was prophesied about in the Old Testament that he was going to come. And that did not fall well on the Jewish ears at that time. They did not believe that he was the one. And they were the ones in the beginning that stirred up all the problems against Paul, because They believed he was a blasphemer. And it says that, that because he testified that Jesus is the Christ, and that's what he did previously, they got him in trouble. And we see that, we know he was fearful because we'll get to verse 11, but he did it anyway. How did he do it? I want you to see something that's very important to notice here that says that Paul was compelled by the Spirit. This is important because compelled by the Spirit means that somehow God imparted his grace to Paul through his Holy Spirit. It was a God thing that God, when God does this, he gives him the person a grace. He gives them the power that's beyond themselves to function in a situation that could be fearful. So here's what I'm telling you, that we will go, and I'll give you an example of this. If you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, you see that there are people, I mean, this is, it doesn't get any more radical than this, and you die for your faith. Now, we saw it in the Fox's Book of Martyrs. Many people through the centuries have actually been burned at the stake for being Christians. And you think, well, that's a horrific way to go. Yeah, I didn't want to think what that would feel like. But here's what's written about these people in their last moments as the fire is being ignited. They're having the same attitude that Jesus had on the cross. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Jesus had that. Stephen had it. Lord, don't hold this sin against them when he was being stoned to death. These martyrs had the same thing. It was like they would pray for the ones that were burning them at the stake. That's a miracle. How do they do that? The grace of God. God has imparted something to them right at that point in time that just gives them a supernatural peace. But not just it's a peace where you can, I don't know, you can still act and react and you do things that are like godly. And you talk about a witness. Now that is a witness. We still talk about the things that Christ said on the cross. We still talk about Stephen, the witness that's in the Bible about what he did as he was being stoned. You get what I'm saying? And that is not just a brave person. Because there's a time, there's a time when we're called to step out of the boat, when we have to exercise our free will. But I'm going to tell you something you should expect, have an expectation, even as Peter did when he stepped out of that boat, that God is going to meet you right there. You just have to trust him. That's what this is. To put your foot up and step out of the side of the boat, that's trusting God. You put your foot down on the water, and he will impart that grace to you. And it's the same way in life. And it's never early. It's never late. It's always right on time. You can have an expectation. You should have an expectation. That's what faith looks like. That God's going to meet you there. He loves you. And he's going to meet you. And it says here that he was compelled by the Spirit. He was moved by God, in other words, to keep going, to testify to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. And verse 6, of course, now we know this is going to happen everywhere that he's going to speak. But when they opposed him, this is nothing new for him. This is after these things, as we talked about, that he faced opposition with this message that we proclaim. There's going to be opposition to that. It's going to come in many different forms. Now, the second thing is they opposed him, but they blasphemed. And what that means is they said something negative about Jesus. And that's putting it nicely. They said something negative about Jesus. They blasphemed. And when that happened, Paul had enough at this particular point. Remember, so it says he shook his garments and he said to them, "Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles. I'm finished with you Jews. I'm going to the non-Jews from now on. You guys are just causing too many problems for me. I'm finished with you guys." It says, and then he departed from there and he entered the house of a certain man named Justus, a Gentile. But check this out. This man, Justus, is one who worshiped God and whose house was next door to the synagogue. He left the Jews, but he didn't go far. He was next door. Think about that. That's interesting to me. God saw fit to put that in there, that it was just next door. You know, Paul loved his people. He loved his people. And it was his heart, you know, to preach to them. And God had called him, of course, to the Gentiles, but he still preached to the Jewish people as well. But he's leaving, but he didn't go far, did he? He didn't go far. his house was next door to the synagogue, this guy, Justice. But I want you to see something, the influence of the next door neighbor. Look at this. As a result of the influence of this guy, Paul, living at Justice's house, it says, then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, very important man, believed on the Lord with all his household. And many of the Corinthians, look at that, many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. This is the order right here, folks. Look, when the message goes out, they have to hear it, right? They have to hear the message. And then you believe the message, and then you're baptized. You hear the message, you believe the message, and then you're baptized. That would always be the order. You hear the message, you believe the message, and then you are baptized. So this was happening as a result of Paul's ministry, and this was happening everywhere he went. And I'm going to tell you something. No matter how long you've been a Christian, no matter what is going on in your Christian life right now, if it's a positive or if it's a negative, I'm going to tell you something. God is doing something. Even if there's something horrific happening in your life right now, God is doing and wanting to do something miraculous in the midst of that. Because God's working, and he's using you, and he's using situations in your life. And the temptation for us as God is doing this, as God is moving, will be to be afraid. And fear can grip us, but it can render us ineffective in the kingdom. But so this work is going on, we see in verse 8, right? We see great things happening in verse 8. But I want you to see something in the midst of this, right after we hear of this ruler of the synagogue coming to the Lord, right? Right after we hear that, Paul's given up on the Jews, and here's a ruler of the synagogue coming to the Lord. And you think, wow, Paul's got to be encouraged by that, right? Well, God then, it says in verse 9, it says, now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision, all right? In the night by a vision, a dream or a vision could be when you're awake generally. It doesn't say a dream, but right before you go to sleep. Have you ever had one of those where you're thinking something and you see something right before your mind's eye, you can see it? But he spoke in a vision. But I want you to see that it says the Lord spoke. That was the key. And look what he spoke. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. But speak and do not keep silent. For I am with you. And that's a mouthful. Do not be afraid, but speak. I want to read you from Hebrews chapter 13. And this is a promise that pertains to you if you're a Christian. Hebrews chapter 13. I'll start in verse 5. Hebrews 13, 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? I will not fear. See, God is with him. God, he needed to be reminded. Do you think Paul didn't know that God was with him? Of course, I mean, he lived it out. He saw God do things in his midst, heal people. He saw God, people get saved. He saw miraculous things, and he still got to a place in his life where he was given over, tempted to fear. But I want you to see something that God did right there to meet him right where he is, and he'll do this for you. He gave him a specific word. Gave him a specific word. Now, this isn't the first time that this happened in Paul's life, I'm sure. It happened in other places in the Bible. Remember when Paul had a thorn in the flesh? He had some kind of infirmity. We're not sure what it was. Some believe it was an eye problem because of some things that he wrote. But God doesn't tell us. It doesn't really matter what it was. It was some kind of an infirmity. He was buffeted by Satan. And remember, it says that he prayed three times that God would take it away. Now, remember, the Apostle Paul had prayed prayers, and many had been healed in his ministry. He'd seen that in his own ministry. So he knew that God still healed today in that time. He knew that. He believed that. He'd seen that. And so I'm sure he was praying a prayer of faith when he prayed that. Lord, heal me. He prayed it three times. And the Lord, you know, the Lord didn't heal him, didn't take away that infirmity, didn't take away that thorn in the flesh. But what he did do, which made all the difference in the world to the Apostle Paul, is he spoke into his life. He said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. And you know what? Paul was fine after that. Paul didn't even pray for healing anymore. He didn't need that. He just needed God to say, no, this is the way it's going to be. My grace is what you're going to depend on. And we know later from the word that God did that for a purpose with Paul because he'd seen much revelation and he kept a thorn in Paul's flesh to keep Paul in a humble place. See, God knew what he was doing. He does all things well. But I want you to see this in verse 9 because this is a specific word. It's a general word, and the general word is for us today is do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. But for Paul, he's going to say, because Paul's a preacher of the gospel, and he says, but speak and do not keep silent, for I am with you. That's a word for every one of us, every Christian. But this is more specific. It says, and no one will attack you to hurt you. He's talking about in the city of Corinth, for I have many people in this city. That's a specific word. That was in the here and now, in that day, to Paul, the apostle, in Corinth. He's saying, don't worry, Paul, you're not going to get beat up here. He needed to hear that from God. You're not going to get beat up here. Don't worry about it. I want you to preach here. And then he says, I have many people in this city. Not anybody that's going to hurt you. Listen, this is not a guarantee for every Christian that's ever lived. They're never going to get hurt. Right? The Book of Martyrs I was telling you about were people that happened since this. The Apostle Paul, all the apostles, except for John, they died a death. Right? So this isn't a universal word for everybody saying you'll never get hurt. You'll never be attacked. But what it is a promise to Paul, a specific word. You may need that right now. I mean a specific word to hear from God. Maybe you're worried about, you're in that 90 percentile that are worrying about something that's not even going to happen to you. Or maybe you're in that 10 percentile that there is something happening to you that's, you know, serious. And you're in that situation and God still wants to speak into your life. He wants to give you a word to give you a peace because he loves you.
Finding community in a church is such an important part of growing in faith. It's hard to do this life alone and especially hard to follow Jesus in a hostile and evil world. Walking in faith is made a little easier when you know you have the support of your church family, people who are walking similar roads with similar flaws. As we've learned from this study in the book of Acts, a church is also a great place to put your God-given gifts into service for the Lord. You can build up your brothers and sisters in Christ in ways unique to you. If you haven't found a church to call home yet, we hope you will look for one today. Are you in the Eatontown area? If so, you're invited to come check out the church this program is a part of, Calvary Chapel Coastlands. We meet each Sunday at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. to seek Jesus in the pages of Scripture and spend time in worship. We'd love to have you join us as we learn more about our Savior. Find out more and get directions by visiting our church website, cccoastlands.org. While you're on our website, you'll be able to access several of Pastor Bill's past messages. Connect with us on Facebook and download our mobile app to take the messages of Anchored in the Word with you on the go. That website again is cccoastlands.org. That's all for today. Join us next time to learn more from Acts in Pastor Bill's verse-by-verse, chapter-by-chapter study. We pray that you would continue to be moored in sound doctrine and anchored in the Word.